is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church. Coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a great day it is. Good to be with you. Looking outside the windows here, I saw a little squirrel scamper across the grass. Just a gorgeous day. Great being with you. And, you know, by supporting and being faithful to this ministry, to Bible Home Church, with your love gifts and your offerings and your tithes, we are able to carry on this message and keep it going across the globe. Without you, we could not do it at all, I promise you. And but we appreciate your financial help and your prayers. Those are the two ingredients that we need. We start with God, and then you as saints of God, help us out with your prayers and your financial gifts. And now we're going to have a song here. This is from the Cathedrals, one of my favorite groups. Just great, great men of God. The Faithful album. It's called Just Faithful by the Cathedrals. And then I'll be back with today's message at the conclusion of this great song.
In the garden of Gethsemane, he shed three drops of agony. He prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this bitter cup pass from me. But it was God's will for him to go and die on Calvary. The pain that he bore, the blood that he shed was for me. That day at Calvary,
it changed my history.
It changed my history. It gave me a new outlook on life. Now I can conquer the sin and the strife the devil throws.
The devil throws.
While on this journey.
While on this journey. Oh, what a change happened that day at Calvary.
Back when my life was still held in sin's bondage, I had a great fear of things that I couldn't understand. But when I came to know the fabulous love of Jesus, he banished my fear and firmly took hold of my hand. That day at Calvary, it changed my history.
It changed my history.
It gave me a new outlook on life. Now I can conquer the sin and the strife the devil throws.
That the devil throws.
While on this journey.
While on this journey.
Oh, what a change happened that day.
can you succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams? Well, that's the focus of this series of messages. We've been talking about the legs or pillars or piers of strength and support and stability you need to build onto the rock or foundation of your faith. We started off, of course, with faith. Then we had repentance. Now we're into confessing Christ to the world, number 3 of our 5 pillars. You know, one of the things about confessing you have to understand is that anyone who confesses Jesus is the Christ is placed in a very special category by God if he truly believes that and confesses it. Not too long ago, I was reading a transcript of an interview by Larry King of Cable News Network and his interview of Billy Graham, the famous evangelist. And he asked Billy Graham, how did he feel about other religions such as Roman Catholicism, the Mormons, and even the Jews? And Billy Graham said, I am very comfortable with Roman Catholic doctrines and beliefs. And he said the same thing, I feel very comfortable with the Mormons. And then Larry King says, what about Jews? And what they believe, Judaism. And Billy Graham said, comfortable, very comfortable. In fact, Billy Graham said that one of his chief, in fact, he said his principal, his chief spiritual advisor is Rabbi Tannenbaum from New York City. He said, I seek out his help consistently for theological and spiritual advice. He seeks out this Jewish rabbi in New York for theological and spiritual advice. Constantly, he said. It made me wonder about that. Now, there are many people that have the wisdom of this world, and you may seek them out. If you're going to build a home, you may need an architect, you may need a carpenter, you may need a builder, a foundation layer. There's many different people that you can go to for advice. If you're in a legal situation, you may want to go see an attorney. If you have a physical problem, maybe go see a medical doctor. Of course, I wouldn't trust my life with any of those people. Neither the architect, nor the attorney, nor the doctor. But they may have some earthly, worldly wisdom for you. I don't doubt that. Your next door neighbor might have some advice for you in a certain matter. Maybe a trusted friend at work. But if you want spiritual advice, if you want advice to free you from the cares and worries of the whole world, then you're going to have to go to someone who can tell you about the wisdom that is found only in Christ Jesus. And that cannot be a Jewish rabbi or a Muslim mufti or a Hindu guru or a witch or a satanic priest or a Buddhist monk or anyone else. You can't call up the late Madeline Murray O'Hare's Atheist Foundation and get good, reliable, and truthful spiritual advice. I do not know how Billy Graham gets any really good advice from this Jewish rabbi. You say, but doesn't the rabbi believe in God? Now, friends, I've already, last week, we covered that. That if you do not confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will not be saved. Read Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. I'm not trying to be cruel to the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Jews. Far from it. If I wanted to be cruel to these people, I would just keep my mouth shut. Why would I want to tell them about Jesus? That would be their salvation. That would be their pathway to happiness and contentment and to eternal life. If I didn't love these people, why, it'd be better just to me to keep my mouth shut and let them go straight to hell. The person who does not confess Jesus Christ to the Jew, to the Hindu, to the Buddhist, and so on, maybe he should look in the mirror. Maybe he has a even though calling himself a lover of mankind, a lover of other religious groupings, I believe he's really a secret closet hater. Because silence equals death. If you knew a man had a dreadful disease that would eventually terminate in his horrible death, terrible torture and torment, but if there was a cure for that disease, would you tell him? But what if it was a shock to him? What if he would not want to believe you? What if he argues with you and says, I don't believe? Would that change matters? Should you nevertheless persist? Friend, I know of this disease. He says, how do you know? You say, I'm a doctor. I'm a spiritual doctor. He said, how did you, who taught you? Say, well, I've got this Bible here. And it's got the cure for your affliction. But if I do not tell you of this cure, you will be dead. And you'll die in great torment. I don't want your blood, your torment on my soul. Let me tell you about how to be cured of this great and deadly affliction. Now, friends, this is exactly what we're up against in this world. And that's why Christ Jesus said to confess him with your mouth. Because you are the light of the world, representing Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're God. He's God. He's the great light. But he's given you, you know, it's sort of like he's the great battery and he gives you a flashlight. You've got a little bit of power from that great battery there that is Christ Jesus. And he wants you to be a shining light on a hill. You can find that in the Bible. Even the little kids at church sing this little light of mine, don't they? I'm going to let it shine. That's what God's telling you to do. Let your light shine. And if you do, you will be praising the Lord, Jesus Christ. Not in your own self, then. I'm talking about moving outside of yourself, letting God take control, and praising and confessing Christ as Jesus. But you say, but wait, Tex, you've never even met Rabbi Tannenbaum. He's probably a very wise and intelligent and smart and a spiritual man. I suppose we would need to define what you mean by wise and spiritual. I know what Rabbi Tannenbaum is, just like I know what the Dalai Lama of Tibetan Buddhism is, and I know what Sai Baba, the Hindu guru, is. I know what they represent. I know what their fruit is. And let me tell you what the Bible says, not what Tex Mar says about the rabbi and the Hindu guru and the Buddhist leader. Here it is in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. Now, don't argue with me about this, friends. Just believe the Bible, okay? I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm sick and tired of arguing with people, and I've argued with them all the years of my life about these things. And I'm sick and tired. I'm not going to argue with you anymore. Don't send me your emails telling me I'm wrong unless you can quote me Bible scripture. But if you can quote me Bible scripture, then there must be passages, total passages, I've totally omitted. In fact, you might have a different Bible than me. You might have one of those new versions. Because I'm going to give it to you from the King James Bible. And here it begins in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Let me say that again. Who is a liar? Isn't that a strong word? You know, you don't want to use that very often today. In fact, most of the world says don't ever use that word. Don't call anybody a liar. They made a mistake. They don't understand. They misinterpret. They what they say is not actually a fact. But don't say they're a liar. That's so hard. Well, this is what God said. Are you going to tell God what not to say? Here's what he said. He said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Does Rabbi Tannenbaum deny that Jesus is the Christ? Yes, he does. That's what the Jews teach.
Then is he a liar? That's what God says he is. Billy Graham can say, I seek him out constantly for theological and spiritual counsel. That just tells me about the fruit of Billy Graham. Not only is Billy Graham going to a heathen, a non-believer for spiritual counseling and advice, but he's actually recommending this heathen to the whole world. Next sentence says, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He said, well, now wait, Tex. The rabbi certainly does not deny the Father, only the Son. Well, let me go on. Verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. The power of Jesus our Lord. If you deny Jesus Christ before men, he will deny you before his Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33. But if you confess Jesus Christ, you will have not only the Son, but you will have the Father as well. But if you have not the Father, you won't have the Son, and vice versa. Verse 25 says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Who are they talking about there? Some kind of nebulous, hazy God? No, they're talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who the Apostle John is talking about. Now, believe me, there are spirits in this world, my friend, foul demon spirits who lead men. I believe they lead Jewish rabbis, Hindu gurus, Buddhist monks, witches, Satanists, and all manner of atheists and other religionists. And listen to what John says in chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. He says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. A lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, if you believe that Jesus was really a live person at one time, are you of God then? What this means is that, remember, it says that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Oh, the Jew will say Jesus was in the flesh. Oh, yes. We even have our great Jewish historian, Josephus. And he wrote back during those days, and he talked about one that they call Jesus Christ, who many believe to be the Son of God. So yes, we'll admit it, there was a Jesus. But it says here that you must confess Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's far different. And not only that, you must confess that he, Jesus, came in the flesh as Christ. As the Son of God. He wasn't just born to Mary and later earned his godhood, like the New Agers say. He came in the flesh. That's why Matthew chapter 1, and we read about John in the beginning there with Jesus, it makes it very clear that one of his names is Emmanuel, or God with us. The Word made flesh, says John chapter 1. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Oh my goodness gracious. Isn't that very, very harsh and cruel to call people of other religions who do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to call them Antichrist? I mean, we've already called him a liar. Now we're calling him an Antichrist. Wow. So judgmental, so harsh, so cruel, so mean-spirited, so biased, so narrow-minded are you as a Christian, and praise God for it, because that's what we're commanded to be, because narrow is the way, Jesus Christ says, and broad is the way to destruction. Well, I want to read you chapter 5 and go on from there with verse 10. I love this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. My friends, if you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the witness is inside you. You'll have Christ within, the hope of glory. But if you don't believe this, then you're making God into a liar, because God has given us a record in His Word of His Son. Do you believe that? You say, I don't believe in Christ Jesus. I don't believe He came in the flesh. Well, since that is the record that God gave us in His Word, you're calling God a liar. That's a very dangerous thing, my friend. Verse 11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Here we come back again to the heart of this whole matter. If you have Jesus Christ and you confess Him as Lord, if you believe in Him and confess Him as God, then you have eternal life. If you do not believe in Him and do not confess Him, then you do not have eternal life, but you are damned forever and ever. How can I be more blunt? How can God be any more plain than this? That whoever comes to you and confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, John says in his second epistle, verse 7, that person is a deceiver. And many deceivers are entered into the world, it says, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So, we find then the powerful truth that there is a great power, my friends, that is imbued and imparted to you. If you will but confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, your whole life will change. So many Christians out there say, I believe, but they haven't confessed, and I don't believe they're truly saved. When I said they're Christians, I'm being very liberal with that term. And as you know, my friends, Tex Mars is anything but a liberal. I am not a liberal at all. I believe in the ancient landmarks of the faith, and I'm going to stick with those. So, we've talked about some pillars of the faith then. Some pillars or legs that you need to build on to your foundation. Faith, repentance, and confession of Christ to the world. Next month, we're going to talk about something equally, or next week, excuse me, we're going to talk about something equally important. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. May God richly bless you, and I'll see you next week.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.